Good morning, everyone. We have with us Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty. We're going to speak with him in a moment. But just one more question or two to Butler County, Ohio Sheriff Rick Jones, who was talking a lot like Marshall Dillon there at the top of the program. Sheriff Jones?
Yes.
Now, are there any circumstances under which you would actually protect me as a homeowner if I'm in foreclosure? I've heard that in your neck of the woods, you've actually refused to carry out some eviction orders. How does that work?
Well, basically, I put a directive out to my deputies telling them that we're not going to give somebody the death penalty for not paying their rent, not paying their bills. We don't have debtor prisons. Here in Ohio, it's wintertime. It's zero. It's the essence of giving somebody the death penalty for not paying their bills. And at that point, it started. I mean, people were talking about putting me in jail. But I'll tell you, I sent a letter to the new president. I sent a letter to our governor here in Ohio. They all refused to do. They just stuck their head in the sand. Hmm. But I've drawn a lot of attention to it. These are middle class people now that are losing their homes.
Sure.
And family members and people that you and I know. And everybody has a friend or a brother that's losing their job.
Well,
and
Sheriff,
it's totally out of control.
Sheriff Jones, I got a governor waiting on the line here, and we got to go. But do you have any advice as a law enforcement officer to other of your colleagues who are dealing with this sort of moral and legal dilemma in whether to enforce eviction orders?
Well, they don't have any choice but to force eviction notices or go to jail. It comes to the governors, like the governor you have on next. They've got to do something about it in each of their communities. It's their responsibility.
Well, Sheriff Rick Jones, thanks so much for getting up to be on the program this morning. He's the sheriff of Butler County, Ohio, giving us a sense of the difficulty for law enforcement officers as the housing crisis reaches Main Street and turns families into homeless people. Joining us now is Governor Tim Pawlenty from Minnesota. Governor Pawlenty, thanks for being a part of the program.
Thanks for having me on, John. Good morning.
Why don't I just give that question right to you that the sheriff teed up. Is there anything you can do to help homeowners, even given the program announced from the Obama administration this week?
Yeah, there's a lot that can be done. In Minnesota, we've done a lot, including creating one of the most aggressive mortgage counseling programs in the country. And we find that we can save some, but not all, of the folks who are facing foreclosure by getting the lender and the homeowner together to try to work it out. One disappointing and discouraging statistic is this. Our lenders in Minnesota are saying that of the counseling that takes place, even if they get the mortgage reworked, 60% of the folks who get their mortgage reworked still default later. So it's not a panacea.
No, indeed. And we were talking about that statistic yesterday. I'll take a drink of water while I ask you this question. You know, it's said that governors and mayors are the only people outside of the president that actually run anything in the United States politically. And I'm wondering, with the discretion that you have as governor, what do you make of this stimulus package? Some of your colleagues have suggested that they're not going to take stimulus money because they're so opposed to it. You've expressed it some frustration and reluctance. What are you feeling now?
Well, I think most Republican governors and most Republicans are concerned or opposed to the stimulus bill, or at least concerned about it for these reasons. One, the federal government is spending money it doesn't have. They are deeply in debt and getting deeper in debt by the hour. They're borrowing money to do this, mostly from the Chinese, and it's money we just don't have. But number two, I support, and I think many Republicans support, a stimulus bill. We just think this one was a missed opportunity and misguided in the sense that it should have focused on bread and butter things that are proven to be stimulative, like tax cuts that put money in people's pockets right away, or bread and butter infrastructure projects like roads and bridges. This thing has wandered into a meandering financial buffet of spending across all kinds of categories, much of which is not stimulative. And lastly, it was a missed opportunity to fulfill the promise of being bipartisan. President Obama said he was going to be bipartisan, bring in a new era. And I think with some reasonable changes in the bill, it could have been bipartisan, but it clearly was not.
Like what? Reasonable changes in the bill.
More focus on what the two categories that I just described. If you look at this bill, for example, of nearly $800 billion in money, only $46 billion of it went to roads and bridges.
Well, but it's not all roads and bridges that stimulate. I mean, even you Republicans say that tax cuts are stimulative and they go to all kinds of pockets and all kinds of communities. You know, when you say at the top that the main critique that Republicans have of the stimulus is that we're spending money that we don't have, for heaven's sakes, there's nothing new about that in Washington.
No, that's a concern. I don't think that's the overriding concern. But of the total infrastructure in the bill, total infrastructure, including roads and bridges, it's only about $150 billion. You know, we got fish hatchery money in there. There's art endowment money in there. There's spending on every kind of government program. We're going to get more money for some programs in our state than we would have spent on the programs even in good times. And so the bill clearly has meandered, and that, I think, was the tipping point for many Republicans to say this is really not a good enough stimulus bill. But only four Republican governors supported it. The others are either concerned or opposed. Most are going to end up taking the money. In Minnesota's case, we're going to accept the money because we're a major subsidizer of the federal government. For every dollar we send in, we only get 72 cents back. So we're going to accept the money because we're paying the bill.
But when you pay those bills, doesn't it preserve jobs? And doesn't it have the effect of keeping people in positions where they might otherwise be laid off? Or
Absolutely. Again, I support a stimulus bill. I just think this one could have been better. So I'm not arguing the general premise that can we benefit from a stimulus bill and should we have had a stimulus bill. I say to those questions, yes. I just am disappointed in the nature of this one.
Some Democrats in the House have suggested that the actions on the part of one of your gubernatorial colleagues, Jim Clyburn of South Carolina, in claiming that he might refuse the money or might not accept some of the money from the stimulus package, is a slap in the face to African Americans. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, I think it's Congressman Clyburn who is talking about South Carolina Governor Mark Sanford.
That's right.
And I think yesterday I heard, this is secondhand, that Governor Sanford is going to accept the money. But I don't know where Congressman Clyburn's coming from in that regard, why he would make this debate and put it in racial terms. That seems something that's an odd statement to me, but you'll have to ask Congressman Clyburn what he meant by that.
Can I ask you something about the tax cuts that many Republicans spoke about as being the lead mechanism for actually providing stimulus? This package, as large as it is, I think $300 billion in tax cuts, really only puts $400 in an average middle-class family's pocket. Why didn't the tax cuts during the Bush years prevent us from getting into this mess to begin with?
Well, I think you had a massive greed, in some ways massive fraud, and complete deviation from basic principles and common sense. When you have an entire sector of the economy that's doing things like writing mortgages for 125% of the appraised value of the home, not requiring documents or much documentation to issue the mortgages, issuing mortgages to people who couldn't afford them, not requiring, and this was approved by Fannie and Freddie, not requiring any sort of equity in the home or down payment in the home so that if the value of the home turned down a little bit, you wouldn't be upside down in the mortgage and on down the list. The whole thing was a house of cards and a pyramid, and that was the linchpin that started the unraveling of this economy. And obviously it spread well beyond housing. But those issues go well beyond tax policy. That goes right to the heart of a greedy, sloppy, I think, activated housing market that's just full of speculation and, as Alan Greenspan would say, irrational exuberance.
But is there any expectation that tax cuts this time around wouldn't contribute to the same sort of greed as opposed to focused spending that might actually preserve jobs?
Well, I think in this case, the tax cuts are targeted to moderate income people and below, and the net effect of them, I think, is $13 a week per household or per taxpayer, so I don't think I would describe that as greed.
Let's talk about the meeting that's coming up this weekend. On Saturday, as many as 50 governors are expected to participate. I'm assuming the stimulus package is going to be on the agenda. In terms of Republican versus Democratic governors, and I don't mean versus in some active sense, but there are two categories of governors, are Republicans trying to position themselves in the way that the Senate and House did as kind of hands-off the Obama administration in this early going for some sort of political tactical reason?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, as a country, the election is over. We have a president. He's our president, regardless of whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. In order for the country to succeed, we need him to succeed. I think it's okay for people to offer suggestions or critiques or concerns and express their views and oppositions if they disagree. But wherever possible, we should try to work together. And I think that's why this bill is also disappointing. It was an opportunity for that to happen. But it seems like the Obama administration wanted to plow in all this spending in other categories that really wasn't something that needed to be in an emergency stimulus package. It could have been debated in a separate bill. And as to the argument that Republican governors are supposed to have it both ways, they're opposed to stimulus but taking the money, in addition to what I said earlier about Minnesota states or states like Minnesota paying the bill, you know, since when is the rule that you can't participate in federal legislation if you're concerned about it? You know, if you're a liberal governor
right.
and you're opposed to military spending, does that mean you don't take the National Guard money?
Well,
if you're opposed to No
sure.
Child Left Behind,
no,
you don't
understood.
Take that money.
Understood. It's a principle on the table. We're going to yeah. leave it there. But good luck at the meeting this weekend. Governor Tim Pawlenty from Minnesota, Republican governor, joining us from St. Paul. Thank you, Governor.